For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace! What a jump ball!
Pistons down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first. A burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim! Tapped up, baby, and a foul! Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk!
Pistons fans, welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson, Ryan Pay, all here with you for this week's edition as we talk about your ninth-seeded Detroit Pistons as they sit at 19-24, third in the division, again, ninth in the Eastern Conference. And guys, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And the thing that's really approaching now, where you're going to start to hear all the conversations, as you have been over the last week or two, the trade deadline is going to be here before you know it. And teams are talking about pieces they can move. They're talking about guys they can move. So we're going to get into the trade deadline. We're going to get into guys that maybe the Pistons can move, maybe would be easiest to move. We're going to talk a little bit about this upcoming stretch. I think Aaron's got a couple ideas of trades that maybe he could propose. There's one that he tweeted out that we're expecting him to get killed for, but we'll get into that as well. So a lot of great stuff.
I'm fine with being the sacrificial lamb, you know? I'm fine with it. I do it on the podcast every week. I can do it on Twitter.
Just saying, I've been calling for Andre to be gone for a while. I've been on that bandwagon.
But the thing is, with this trade proposal,
this trade proposal is good.
I'll just throw it out there right now.
Let's right off the top. Let's go right into it.
I'll just throw it out there, okay? So the Pistons send out Andre Drummond and Henry Ellenson to the Sacramento Kings for Zach Randolph, Bogdan Bogdanovich, and Harry Giles. I'm going to get murdered for proposing trading Andre Drummond for essentially Bogdanovich and Giles.
No.
I'm going to get murdered for it. Because, listen, Andre Drummond right now is a better player than both of those guys. Andre Drummond is a fine basketball player. But we are seeing the way he's utilized in Detroit. And we see his body language, and we see his statistics, where he's shooting under 50% from the field as a center that plays only inside. Turnover prone. His assists are down, which is acceptable because of Blake Griffin's new role. But his assists are down, and his turnovers remain at the same rate. And it just is not working. It's not. The Pistons have been mediocre. They've been really bad, really, in the last two months. And a shakeup is needed. These two guys are young pieces. Bogdanovich gives scoring on the wing, can shoot the ball, can get to the rim. And Giles, I said it before the season began, he was my pick for Rookie of the Year. I thought he was going to get more minutes than he has in Sacramento. He's starting to get more minutes now, and he's producing very well. Can protect the rim. He's a good passer. He's uber athletic, even after the injuries he suffered at Duke. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He's a nice piece to work with. I really like him. I like the potential fit next to Blake Griffin. I'm going to get killed for the trade, but, you know, there's something about this that just absolutely pisses me off. You act like Henry Ellenson is just a side piece in this deal. The fact that you're willing to part ways with the former first-round pick, poor man's John Luer, and act like he's not even a part of it, it's disgusting. That's gross. No comment to that, Aaron? Can't even look at me in the eye? You know, I was liking the podcast when we didn't really talk about Henry Ellenson.
You brought him up.
Yeah, but I kind of just brushed over him really quickly. You didn't hear me say anything besides his name, and then that was it. And then you have to go
into this. Yeah, because you act like he was just a little side piece.
Well, you got to go into this little tirade about him, and it's just, it's not necessary. It's unnecessary. It's unprovoked. And let's not do that this week. Let's not do that this week.
Ryan, he pissed me off right there, man.
I can tell he did. I can very much tell he did. I'm trying to see if Aaron's getting killed yet on Twitter over here, and he has not yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll continue on through the rest of the show, seeing if Aaron gets absolutely murdered for this, which I'm on board with it. I'll put my two cents in about it. I really like Harry Giles a lot. I think his potential is sky high. You said it's not working with Andre Drummond necessarily here in Detroit, and I tend to agree. I think the pairing of De'Aaron Fox and Andre Drummond would be great for the Kings. I don't know, and I just, like you said, Giles and Blake together, great fit. I feel like they'd work really well together. Bogdanovich adds a scoring piece that you desperately need. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like it. I do it. And then you clear all that cap space. Yes, you take on Zach Randolph for the rest of the year at the $11 million. That clears so much cap space going into the offseason anyway.
Absolutely.
I dig it. You guys know I'm about the youth movement in Detroit outside Blake Griffin. I'd let Blake Griffin be the one old man on the team compared to the rest of the youth. So I'm about it. I'm about the youth movement. I'm about freeing up cap space. This team is so mediocre it hurts. Every Pistons fan argues like this team's not going to be any better than an 8 seed. Like, we're really fighting for a 4 seed. We're not at all. If we're going to be the 9th or 10th seed, what's the point? Just trade the pieces. Get a good draft pick. Rebuild. Young, good core pieces around Blake Griffin and get it going. You're seeing Bruce Brown and you're seeing Luke Kennard, when given consistent minutes, can roll. They're part of your future. When you give Khyri Thomas some time, look at him playing all of a sudden. He's playing like a man. Let it ride. That's how I feel about it.
You kind of touching on Dwayne Casey's labeled five-man core, right?
Right.
Aaron, you could probably hit on that a little bit more, but it was what? Drummond, Blake, Khyri Thomas, Bruce Brown, Luke Kennard was his five-man core that he talked about. And that's something that is interesting because it's going to help lead into our next topic. But, you know, those five, and you see some new pieces relative to this team and Khyri Thomas, Bruce Brown, and Luke Kennard being a part of what he considers his core.
Yeah, the thing is with this team, I don't think Dwayne Casey necessarily loves Andre Drummond. Not to speculate, but I don't think he loves him. I think that was more so just because, well, I guess Drummond is part of the core right now, and you don't want his value to be perceived low around the league if there isn't any intention of trying to trade him. But I'm pleased with the other guys he named. Obviously, Blake is a part of the core. Luke is a part of the core. But to hear Bruce Brown and Khyri Thomas, those are guys that are second-round picks. They're in their rookie season. But to believe in them that much already and be willing to say their names over a guy like Reggie Jackson and Reggie Bullock, mm-hmm. like, that's important. That shows that Dwayne Casey really sees something for them. Obviously, we know he believes in Bruce Brown because Brown is a starting shooting guard right now. Khyri Thomas is working his way into the rotation here and there. So it's important to see that he really believes in guys and those guys like that. And I think that's promising, and it shows that while maybe we don't agree with every move that Detroit's front office has made, for them to go out and find two guys in the second round that they really believe in and have showed flashes when they've come in and played, that's good stuff to see, and it's part of the reconstructing the youth of this roster since Stan Van Gundy depleted the youth off the team. It's really important to see that Detroit in their first draft outside of the Stan Van Gundy era has found two guys that can contribute. Well, it kind of helps lead in, and Ryan, I'll turn to you on this. Dwayne Casey labels his five-man core, and Aaron, you mentioned no Reggie Bullock, no Reggie Jackson, no Stanley Johnson in that mix. So then you start to wonder, are the Pistons about to make a move? They've signed a couple of point guards, a little hometown, Kalen Lucas being one of them, to a two-way contract. Isaiah Whitehead from overseas, formerly with the Brooklyn Nets, being the other. And, you know, you look at Dwayne Casey's five-man core, who was not included. You look at some of the recent minor moves the Pistons have made. And now you start to wonder, are the Pistons going to make a move? Dennis Smith Jr. has been in the news lately. He wants a trade. Dallas is trying to cover up the fact that they were going to ship him for anything because they're trying to increase his value. The Pistons are supposedly in on those conversations. You look at that five-man core and all the guys excluded, Ryan, and it's about time the Pistons go out and make a move for this team. Hopefully, to start that youth movement you refer to.
Oh, I sure hope so. I love the thought of going and getting Dennis Smith Jr. Maybe he's not the most perfect fit in a Dwayne Casey system, but that guy, I still believe, he's only in his second year, has superstar potential written all over him. If you can go get him, especially at a low price, considering Dallas has zero leverage right now, I know the reports are going back and forth about, hey, we know we have no leverage, so it's we're going to get nothing for him in return, but now the next report is, hey, we're just going to try to reconcile this relationship because we know we can get him back. So I know we're playing that PR game, but I think having a young, explosive point guard in Dennis Smith Jr., who is a good three-point shooter, 37.5% I believe it is, that I think that's a move you have to try to explore. Do I know what the trade package should be exactly? Probably not. But that's a move you've got to at least really like do more than just your due diligence. Fight for it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I wrote about it on palaceofpistons.com. I wrote about a potential trade package. I wrote about why Detroit should go after Dennis Smith Jr. And it's a necessary gamble of a guy that hasn't really found his groove yet through the first year and a half of his time in the NBA. But he's a guy that has very high potential, has shot the ball better this year, and is a guy that, as a Detroit team who is limited in cap space, doesn't have high upside with this roster, that's a guy that they should be willing to take a gamble on. Is a guy that could improves their future outlook. And he's a point guard. Detroit hasn't had a point guard to develop in years. Dennis Smith Jr. immediately comes in and would be that point guard to develop, the point guard of the future for this team. And I think his value right now is attainable for Detroit. I think they have the assets to make a move to get him. I think Reggie Bullock is a really attractive piece to put next to Luka Doncic as a guy that can move off the ball, shoots the ball really well. I think Ish Smith is a guy that can be involved in that trade, as a guy that can come in and replace the minutes lost by J.J. Barea and Dennis Smith Jr. He's a kind of a placeholder, but he's cost attainable, only $6 million owed to him this year. And then Wesley Matthews. Dallas wants to get off of Wesley Matthews' contract. Matthews can be a placeholder shooting guard in Detroit for a year. They can try to re-sign him if they deem necessary at the in the offseason for probably a much cheaper price than what he's getting paid right now. And Matthews is a guy that has shot the ball well this year. He's at 38.4% from the three-point line. He does some other things well. He's a veteran presence. You know, I think there's definitely some work to be done there, and I think that's a trade that could help both teams in their desired paths.
I mean, it all goes back to the point I made earlier. If you're fighting for the eighth seed, what are you fighting for? Nothing. Take the gamble. This roster clearly needs some sort of shakeup. Roll the dice. Because I'm tired of watching this team flounder and be really not even mediocre. A touch below mediocre. Mm-hmm. It's nonsense. It's NBA purgatory. It's not floundering out to go get a top three pick, but it's not even making the playoffs either. It's just being garbage. It's being slightly below what mediocre is. And if you can live with that, and you can look in the mirror and be like, hey, I have no problem with my team fighting for the eighth seed every year, good on you. But that's not what I'm about. I can't take it. It's nonsense. Go gamble. Do something. I couldn't be mad at this front office and this team for taking a chance on Dennis Smith Jr. I couldn't. There'd be no reason to, because it's asinine to think that I'd be happier staying put with this team than taking a gamble.
It'll be interesting, you know, as you kind of see things unfold and where the Pistons decide to go. But, you know, could we get some, like, NBA 2K wishful thinking? Maybe the Pistons go out, make that Andre Drummond, Henry Ellenson trade for Giles Bogdanovich and Zach Randolph, and then they respond by the next day trading the offer that Aaron proposed in his article on the Palace Pistons website. Reggie Bullock, Luke Kennard, Ish Smith, Langston Galloway for Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, and Ryan Brokoff. Like,
yeah, they just restarted the team.
Yeah, that's like a just totally
gut it midway through the year.
That is gutting the team.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen.
Can I tell you though? I would call and ask if I could buy season tickets for the rest of the year.
How wild would that be? Like that is a total pipe dream, never gonna happen because that's not realistic.
Yeah.
But like damn, if they just went and made two big hole, bold got moves. The teams, were completely changing the team moves. My goodness.
You still keep Blake, you still keep Bruce Brown, you still keep Kyrie Thomas.
Side note, Spencer Dinwiddie continues to kill it with the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
That's good. You know, you like to see that. Wonder where this team would be with him right now instead of Reggie Jackson.
Or Chris Middleton.
The list goes on.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
Keep going. But you know, we're getting wishful thinking, right? Because here's the reality. The Pistons are not going to make some attractive move. And if they do... If they do, it's not going to be a move that's an investment on the future. It's going to be a move that's an investment on now. And getting them over the top of hanging in that 8 to 10 threshold and putting them in that 5 to 7 threshold. That's the move they're going to try to make.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And when you look at that, who is... Well, we're going to ask two questions. And it may be the same answer for both. But first... Who is the likeliest player for the Pistons to move before the trade deadline?
I think the likeliest player, because I think Detroit is bound to make a move, and I think it's going to be of relative importance. You look at a guy that has probably the most value right now, considering value contracts in the league, it has to be Reggie Bullock. Reggie Bullock's making $2.5 million. He's shooting the lights out of the ball. He's been one of the top 10 three-point shooters in the league over the past two seasons. He kind of gets lost in Detroit's offense behind Griffin, behind Drummond, sometimes behind Jackson.
No, not sometimes. I'd say most of the time.
Yeah, so he gets lost outside of the first quarter. He usually gets good touches in the first, but then just finds his way out of the offense somehow. He's a guy that has high value around the league because of his attributes. Low contract, you know, you get his rights by trading for him, and then he's a very good player right now. He moves well off the ball. He's a knockdown shooter, and he's a capable defender. You know, those are all attributes that make him a very sought after and attainable player in the league. I don't think I see a trade where it's just Bullock that goes out for Detroit. I think if Detroit was to make a move because of the salary that would probably come in and the salary that goes out, it'd probably be part of a package. But I think if Detroit makes a move at the deadline, Reggie Bullock will be involved.
I agree with you on that, Aaron. I think this whole team right here of us agrees with you on that. So I'll say this. The exact opposite. I think Detroit has a decision to make between two players coming up. One of them's Reggie Bullock and the other one's Stanley Johnson. I don't think both of those players are on this roster going forward for the Pistons. Maybe even past this year. So you say Reggie Bullock. I'll say Stanley Johnson. It's a guy that has a lot of value, I feel like, throughout the league. Like much like... Reggie Bullock does. He's shown flashes of brilliance. He's shown he's a very, very, very capable defender for anyone, for the superstar players. He can defend them in this league. I think teams think Stanley Johnson's still young and they can fix him offensively. He's shown promise that he can shoot a little bit. Not great, but he's showing that the shot can be there. He's showing the ability to slash and take the ball to the basket. So I think there would be a team in the league who thinks, yeah, we can fix Stanley Johnson and make him a very, very solid player. And like I said, I think Detroit has a decision to make. I don't think Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson both last on the roster going forward. So if you say Reggie Bullock, I'll say Stanley Johnson.
Well, I'll add a guy that I think is going to be included in either package because I kind of agree, Ryan, with where you're at on it's going to be one of those two. But I think Ish Smith is a guy that's going to get included in a package. I think he's a very valuable backup point guard. Teams will like his energy off the bench. He's a guy that we talked about it when he came back from his injury. You're going to try to play him for a handful of games and see where you're at and see where his value is at and then try to make a move. So I think Ish Smith is very likely going to be that extra guy, that maybe that over-the-top guy that you include in a package that can help a team if they're making a move like this to try to win now.
Why did Detroit go out and sign two point guards to two-way contracts if they don't have intentions of moving a current point guard on their roster?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they have no confidence and no desire to keep playing Jose Calderon. So they went and signed two point guards to two-way contracts. Obviously, that says to me that they're looking to make a trade, and one of your point guards is going to be a part of that trade. probably Ish Smith. Mm-hmm. So I tend to agree with you.
It's wishful thinking to think Reggie Jackson would be that guy.
Why do you have 5 point guards on the roster right now?
Right.
If you're not planning on moving one of them in some sort of trade and have no intention of making Jose Calderon your backup point guard. Because we saw how disastrous that was.
Yeah, we lived through that.
We lived through that.
I don't want to go back to that.
That was a terrible, terrible stretch right there. And no disrespect to Jose Calderon, but he's 38. It's just not quite there anymore for him. Why do you go make that move to bring in 2 point guards? You're clearly trying to see who could be either your backup or your third point guard because you're not here for Jose Calderon anymore.
No. So now you look at most the likeliest move, right? Who's the easiest guy for Detroit to trade right now? And maybe the answers stay the same, but the easiest guy that Detroit could put on the market and get something valuable in return.
Oh, I think Aaron and I are in agreement with this. It's Reggie Bullock.
Yeah.
It's that contract. It's $2.5 million for the rest of the year for a top 5 shooter in the league for the past 2 years, maybe a top 2 shooter this year. I mean, the guy is lights out right now. It's extreme value for a championship contending team to add that kind of shooter to their rotation without having to worry about really any sort of cap consequence.
The contracts are going to pay him probably around $10 million, I'd say, in the off season. So it's not like you're going to be paying $15 million for this guy because, yeah, he's a great shooter, but like his offensive repertoire doesn't make him good enough to be that $15 to $20 million kind of salary guy. He's not a top of the line defensive player. He's just capable on that end. But if you just want a guy that's going to fit into your offense, shoot the lights out of the basketball, and compete on the other end, Reggie Bullock's going to come in and make your team so much better. You're just going to reap the benefits of it. And then you can re-sign him in the offseason. You have his rights. And Detroit can get some value for him.
Because it's not like he's 22 years old. He's 27, about to be 28 here in March. He is what he is at this point. He's not some 21-year-old who can develop the rest of his game in different ways. At this point in his career, he is what he is, a phenomenal shooter who can help you out a little bit on the defensive end, fit into your offense, bring value in that way.
Guys, come on. Andre Drummond is a major player. You're telling me that he would not be the easiest contract to move? I mean, there's a lot of teams in the league that want a major player. Sorry, my inner Tom Corus just kind of came out. Sorry. No, you're right. But, man, wouldn't it be nice to be able to really make a move that could help reignite the youth movement, that could really put this team on a good map going forward?
Honestly, if it's a move that doesn't necessarily move the needle for this year, but gets the future rolling, really sets the stage for next year
and
the
years to come. Which is why Harry Giles would be the perfect move. Because I don't know how well that works initially for the Pistons. That may be one of those things that is just average, and it takes an offseason of really clicking for them to take off. And then maybe that extra free agent signing to push them over the top. You still could get a decent draft pick if you don't move your first round pick. All of a sudden, then, Detroit could be looking hot.
See, here's the thing. If I'm the Kings, I say no to that trade. But that's because I know what Andre Drummond is, and I see the potential of Harry Giles, and I see what Bojan Bogdanovic is.
Exactly why the Kings will say yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Kings don't have a very pretty history when it comes to making decisions. So my pipe dream lives on. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm going to keep dreaming that Harry Giles, who I think is going to be a fantastic player in the league one day, is going to find his way to the Detroit Pistons. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the Kings are interested in Harrison Barnes, who is not a very good player
right now. If they can be sold on Harrison Barnes, they can be sold on Andre Drummond.
Don't say that the Kings don't want to take on cap space.
That's not the issue, no.
Harrison Barnes is getting paid an incredible amount of money. Otto Porter is another guy that they've been named to be interested in, is making an incredible amount of money. And Andre Drummond is right there with them.
Think about the money Detroit would then have to make a move to push them, you know, over the top or right to that, you know, competitive spot in the Eastern Conference. And we can get into that another day because that could go a million.
That would have to be next year because you take back the Zach Randolph cap in my proposed trade idea. So you don't necessarily have a ton of cap relief for the rest of the season, But next year, you know, obviously you don't have Drummond's money. Zach Randolph comes off the books.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. In the offseason.
Right.
Yeah. And then that's when Detroit could really make that move that you find an elite playmaker. You're able to draw a guy in to come play with Blake. And all of a sudden, man.
I mean, if you're able to draft, I mean, if they made that move, I think the team would go down. I think this would be a team that would end up with a top six pick
probably
at that point. Because it would take, you have 35 games to integrate them. I think those 35 games would be useful for getting to know each other. But in terms of winning and pushing for the playoffs, it doesn't move the needle at all. But that's not what we're trying to do here. So you have Harry Giles, Blake Griffin, you have that top 5, 6, 7 pick, and then you have money to go convince a high-level player to come join Blake Griffin. I feel like that is a heck of a lineup, a heck of a team, and then you have Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard to go with it. I think that's more of a winning formula.
On a broader scale, outside of this trade, because I don't think Andre Drummond is going to be off of this roster as of right now. Looking forward to not this upcoming offseason, but the offseason after that, the money that's going to be off the books for Detroit is serious. Because John Lewis, $10.5 million comes off the book. Langston Galloway, $7 million comes off the book. Reggie Jackson, $16 million comes off the book. Josh Smith, $5.5 million comes off the book. That's $35 million right there that Detroit loses in cap space. And none of those guys make or break this roster.
No.
To where they can go find cheap replacements for really all of them. And then you spend the money on a point guard. You got to find a way to get a good point guard. But Detroit's going to have some serious money coming up here. Not this offseason, but the offseason after that. Where as long as they don't lock into big contracts with Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, and Reggie Bullock, you know, they have some wiggle room and the ability to make some altering changes down the line.
Make the Harry Giles move. Yeah,
it's a pipe dream. That's a pipe dream. That's Giles. Just hear me out.
Just hear me out.
Oh, it's we don't think that's going to happen.
We know. Oh, trust me. Everybody knows. But just enjoy this for a minute. You have Giles. You have Blake Griffin. You have Bogdanovich. You have your choice of Luke Kennard, Reggie Bullock, Bruce Brown starting. And then you go out and you sign Kemba Walker. And you put yourself in an elite spot in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, that sounds amazing. Sign me up for season tickets right there. I'd love that. Phenomenal.
Kemba and Blake.
But we know how this is
young
not.
Harry Giles.
But we know that this is not going anywhere like that, boys. These are pipe dreams.
Absolutely.
This is just us talking about our fantasies for the Pistons. Obviously. But gosh, damn. That would be. Mm-hmm. That'd be amazing. I don't think you're not getting any argument or fight out of anyone, I don't think, with that dream.
No. But instead, the Pistons will continue forward. They'll make a very average move, and they'll sell it as a move that puts them into contention. They won't be in contention, and that's that. But you look at the Pistons' upcoming schedule, and Detroit's got to find a way to win some games. They got the Miami Heat tonight. Then they get set to take on Sacramento again. Sacramento, a team that won in Cali.
Let's just kidnap Harry Giles. Put Harry Giles on the plane back to Detroit after tomorrow night.
Just do that jersey swap.
Yeah. Or actually, it's a game in Detroit. It might be in Detroit. I'm not sure.
I think the game's in Detroit.
Okay, then just keep him here. Lock him inside the locker room. Mm-hmm.
Don't let him leave.
Right.
Oh, you missed your flight. Damn, what a shame.
You're stuck here now.
Sorry. You're playing for us now, guy.
Tell you know, one player on the Pistons roster that... The plane's leaving for their next road trip. I don't even know if that's coming up. Mm-hmm. But just tell them to go get on the plane. Shut the door as soon as the plane closes. Shut the door as soon as he walks into the plane. And the trade's done. The trade's official. It's gone to the league office.
Right. Right. Well, you look at the Pistons' upcoming schedule before we pod next. They play tonight versus Miami. Tomorrow versus Sacramento. The next week they have Washington on Monday, New Orleans on Wednesday, and we will pod before that January 25th game versus the Dallas Mavericks, when hopefully Dennis Smith Jr. could maybe do a little jersey swap as well. But nonetheless, the Pistons four games coming up before we hit the podcast next. As they sit at 19 and 24, they've got to find a way to win at least two, if not three, of the upcoming games.
Yeah, interesting statistic pointed out through Pistons Twitter. The Pistons have the fifth easiest schedule remaining in the entire NBA. So that's something that's trending in the right direction for them. That's something to keep note of. Yeah, you know, I don't think Detroit ever really plays Miami very well. They got ran out of the gym by Sacramento last time. And they lost to a New Orleans team that was without Anthony Davis for the first half earlier in the season. So I don't really have a lot of confidence right now. I guess the Pistons are 2-1 in the last three, so they're playing a little bit better. As sad as that is to have to say, they're 2-1 in their last three. But ultimately, I just don't buy into this team being able to put together a win streak the way that they've played. They just have been awful the last 2 months. So I'm not buying into them being able to really pick up any momentum here.
I'm, like I've said 100 times on today's pod already, I'm not here for fighting for the eighth spot. And even winning the eighth spot and then losing, getting swept or losing 4-1 in the first round. I'm just not here for that. So honestly, I don't mind if they lose a ton the rest of the way. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm over it already. This team is not going anywhere that I want it to go. Maybe some people can live with getting to the first round and getting swept, or squeaking by in the first round as a six seed and then getting blown out of the water in the second round. Some people can live with that, and that's fine. But that's not where I'm at. That's never where I'll be as a fan of the team. So go ahead and lose. I'm all about the youth movement. I'm all about making prudent moves if you can make them, which is obviously very tough. No one's disputing that. So I don't care. I don't care what happens, to be honest.
It's almost like we should be rooting for them to tank.
I mean, you can't openly tank, and tanking's tough, and it doesn't always promise results. I get that. But, man, just the way it's currently constructed, not about it.
So root for the tank.
Yes! Yes!
Okay. I'm not about it.
I'm okay with them tanking, too, but I'm just saying. Guys, no way.
Nice for business with all of you.
There's no way that Detroit, a team right up against the luxury tax line with the team that they currently have, is going to tank.
No, I agree. I absolutely 100% agree. I'm just giving my thought that I don't really care. I'm extremely apathetic at this point. This team's going nowhere. A team this capped out should be fighting for first and second seeds.
Can we wait? I just realized we went through this whole podcast and we did not talk about Blake Griffin and the Clippers.
Oh my gosh, that is a sin.
It seems like it was several.
It feels so long ago, and this team is so trash.
Because it was the day after last week's
podcast. Ryan wanted a Blake Griffin 50 burger against the Clippers. Blake goes for 44.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just going to put it out there right now. You can't convince me that Blake Griffin doesn't know who we are. Because every time we call for Blake Griffin to do something, he pretty much goes and does it.
Blake Griffin was a man on a freaking
the best.
It was great. Hey, let's amazing. Talk about it. It was great to see that everyone just deferred to Blake. And guess who had a really good game?
Fantastic game.
Andre Drummond had a 20-20 night because Blake was the guy. And Andre just garbage points, extra chances, lobs at the rim. That's when Drummond's best, and that's what he did against
Play within yourself, Andre Drummond, and then you are the best center in the league. If you just play within yourself like
How
that.
How about Blake running away from Steve Ballmer like
Love
that?
It.
Oh, I'm fine with it. God. Fine. Blake's the man. You owe him nothing, Blake. It's business. Hey, if they told you you're going to be a Clipper for life, and then they traded you, and hey, it's just business. All right. You don't have to go shake his hand. It's just business.
Right. You play for a different team. You're a part of a different organization.
You owe him nothing.
You don't. You owe him jack shit. So Blake Griffin, to run away from him, is perfectly
fine. To follow
fine.
His normal pregame routine anyway, I'm fine with it. You do what you want to do, Blake, because you owe the Clippers. You brought the Clippers back. No, the Clippers literally didn't exist before Blake Griffin.
You're right.
And then he brought them into national prominence in a town that's all about the Lakers. The Clippers ran the show while he was in town. So, fine. You owe them nothing, dude. I'm all about it.
It's yeah.
And no, then the game. And then the way he played the game was just dominant.
Watch that unfold.
I get he had the extra motivation of going into the Staples Center against the Clippers, and so it added more to his game. But that was so next level, Blake. It was unbelievable.
Oh, you're telling me that they just didn't play hard because Tom Gorris was in the building? They weren't playing hard because of that? That's what you're telling me right now?
It was unreal. Just the next level Blake that game was phenomenal.
The problem is,
I wish we saw that every night.
Absolutely. I love seeing at the end of the game, too, after Pat Beverly kept running his mouth, Blake Griffin at the end of the game just went right at him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Was talking that talk after playing that game. I love seeing that because Pat Beverly, I don't remember him doing much in that game besides making 1 3-pointer. And he was just jawing with Blake Griffin the entire time. And Blake just went right at him when the game was coming to an end. And I absolutely loved seeing that. That, I know Blake Griffin had a 50-point game against the Sixers earlier this year. That might be my favorite Blake game of his time with the Pistons.
No. I think it's 100% the best Blake Griffin game we've ever seen in Detroit. Without a doubt.
Special.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I said I wish he does every night. He does dominate every night. The guys put up numbers we haven't seen from an individual player in forever. I'm just saying that whole performance in general was... It was...
You knew Blake was going to do his thing.
You knew it.
And it took the guys around him to make sure that it all worked out. And damn it, if Andre Drummond would just play within himself, we would not be having these trade Drummond
conversations. The way he played that game was so good. I mean, Andre Drummond.
It was selfless.
It was so good.
It was selfless. And you know what? He won't be that every night.
He would shut up all his critics, especially everyone on this podcast would shut up about him if he played more like that. That was the best maybe we've ever seen Andre Drummond. It was so good watching him play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wants... The Pistons fan base is split down the middle on either Drummond, just get rid of him, or Andre Drummond is a god. There's no in between. If he played like that every night, just letting the game come to him, going for the garbage boards, taking the oops, you know, doing those little things, my goodness, the dude would be an all-star every year. He'd be all NBA every year. The Pistons would win more every year. But do I actually see it happening? No. No.
It's a shame. That is why Andre Drummond will never work in Detroit. Sorry, had to say it.
But Blake Griffin is the man, and you can't convince me he doesn't listen, because every time we call for him to do something, he goes and does it.
I call that a gift that Ryan has, bottom line. Well, the Pistons have 4 games coming up before we podcast next. That includes tonight at home against the Miami Heat. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at Palace of Pistons. Like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We're on Facebook now. Be sure to like our page and share that with your friends as well. And check out the Palace Pistons website, palaceofpistons.com. A lot of great content has been coming out recently, and that is only going to continue. So we appreciate everybody who tuned into this week's episode of the Palace of Pistons podcast, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.